So there are some Sundays where it's really hard, because all the readings are so good. It's really hard to pick what to preach on. Last Sunday, we heard the first half of the gospel story that got finished up today, and I touched on it last week, so I thought I'd try something different. I thought I'd preach on the New Testament. There's no revolt? Okay. It's all about the love. Should I love? Is a question that is answered with a simple yes. And this question isn't all that helpful. The harder and more helpful question is, how should I love this person at this time in this place? Paul writes to the church in Rome. That's what we heard today. And let me reread the reading, because you're probably expecting me to preach on the gospel. So let me reread the reading to refresh you as to what Paul said at the church in Rome that we heard this morning. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in afflictions. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Pursue hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be arrogant, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought of what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Oof. Paul says this to the church in Rome back then, and he says it to the church now. It addresses how we should treat each other within our community of believers, and how we should treat people who are out there. Paul calls us to genuine love for one another. He invites us to have genuine concern for each other. He calls us to address the cares and concerns of the people we care for, and asks us to extend this care to everyone with which we are connected with, including, with those who we are in disagreement or in conflict with. I didn't choose to preach this because I think you need a message. Just to be clear, this is hard stuff. He asks us to bless as an act of love and not curse. Blessing and cursing are mutually exclusive. To bless or to curse is to make a pronouncement about another's future well-being. I thought this was interesting. With a blessing, we desire and intend good for that person. That sounds like a pretty good thing, doesn't it? And cursing is the expressing of a desire for harm to come to that person. You can see why Paul tells us to bless and not curse, yes? I think that's pretty clear when you put it in those terms. Paul goes even further. Don't shoot me, shoot Paul. Paul asks us to do more than tolerate others, but put good into action by actively seeking the well-being of people who we may see as adversaries. College getting a little tight. Paul challenges the myth that says violence can be overcome by evil, can overcome evil. That violence can be used to do good. No. That we can take vengeance and revenge. No. Paul tells us to leave vengeance to God. Otherwise, we risk being overcome by evil ourselves. Paul is encouraging us. He's not wagging his finger at us. Do good to those who harm you. Ooh. What does that look like? Let's start with some easy examples and leave the hard ones to later. Hard ones like responding to Nazism. Let's tackle that another day, but let's stick to the easy ones. And by the way, we are called to respond to evil, not just ignore it. So what does that look like? Sometimes, like Heather the Hedgehog told us, it looks like leaving at the 8-minute mark of a discussion that you know is going to go south at 12 minutes. So you leave before you get there. That sounds like pretty wise advice. Self-constraint is a good start. It's not, should I love? The answer is always yes. The answer is always yes. This is hard stuff. Rather, it's how do I love this person at this time, in this place, in this situation? How do I do good to my enemy, or even harder, how do I help my enemy, or at the very least, how do I not make matters worse? In part, I think that this is recognized that at any given moment, it can be, and has been, you or I in the wrong, not the other person. And it calls for humility and empathy. Did I mention this was hard stuff? Oof. I'll give you an example. Those of you who drive, have you ever been in a situation where two lanes merge into one, or better yet, three? Fun, isn't it? Simple enough. I call it the zipper principle. You let the car in front of you in, you let the car behind you in, back and forth, back and forth. The traffic should move fairly easily. No, that's not what happens. Because we have people, if you're in the lane that's already merged, you're sitting free. And you've got people zipping by you, slamming on the brakes and then putting their indicator on. Frustrated yet? Have you ever been in the opposite situation? We're not always in the right. Where you're the one who has to merge and you didn't notice. And you go, now I'm the one who's going to be cutting in. And become the one who causes a slowdown. At any given time, any one of us can be perceived to be doing something selfish or inconsiderate, causing frustration or worse. True love is hating what is evil and clinging to what is good. Hating evil is about turning away from evil by responding to it in a way that is loving and kind, or at the very least, not adding hate to the world that we live in. To live into what Paul calls us to is to be humble and have empathy as we journey with others, giving the benefit of the doubt to the one who cuts in front of you. Simple example, yes? How many of us have gotten frustrated in situations of merging? Oh good, I'm not the only one. We're overcome by evil when we let spite, anger, or hatred infect us. For those of you here last Sunday, do you remember me referring to dragon's breath? When we get infected, we then speak in ways that are, well, less than blessings, causing fires that need to be put out everywhere. That's when we let spite, anger, and hate infect us. Our calling is to show love and leave the judgment to God. Please note, and this is an important distinction, there is a difference between an observation and a judgment. Let me explain. How many of you noticed that I'm, how should I put it, vertically challenged? I think you've noticed, right? Well, how many of you have gone to the point where you judge me because of it? Not many. But let me give you a couple of examples that I've experienced as an adult. Little kids tell the truth, and it's beautiful to watch, most times. Look, mommy, look at the short man. Or as I was walking through the STEM program last week, I had one little one say to me, "Are you an adult?" Those are wonderful moments. And the child has observed something and is looking to understand what's going on. That's what children do. But I've also had children say, "Ha, ha, 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 look at the short man, mommy." Well, that little one has gone from observation to judgment. You see the difference? Only when we embrace those who do evil in our world with genuine love can we hope for real change in us and in them. Forgiveness and compassion heals violence and hatred. The possibility for change allows the Holy Spirit to act in our hearts and provides the opportunity for change that creates justice and freedom. All this with a name merger? That's where it starts. Simple, not easy. Paul is calling us to an alternative society to what is out there. Let me give you a plug for my workshop, How to Share My Faith. You want me to do what? I would encourage all of you to come. It's a scary word, evangelism. I make it simple, easy. I've been told it's exciting and energizing. Evangelism starts out there, meeting people where they are. And it impacts Sunday morning. It impacts Sunday worship. It has been proven, I told, that when people experience the power of the Holy Spirit in love by how they are treated when they visit a church, and they see how we treat each other with love, care, and compassion, like Paul calls us to, having genuine love for another, things become transformative and encourages people to come back again and again. Simple. By shouting and asking, "How was your week?" So this week, good, it's almost done. So this week, I invite you to the following. When you interact with others, ask yourself, "How do I love this person at this time in this situation?" Sometimes it'll be easy, other times it'll be really challenging, and your escape clause might be to leave at the 8-minute mark before you hit 12. It doesn't always have to be a challenging situation. Please, please just start with some easy ones. And remember the principle, good, better, best. It's always great to do the best, but sometimes good is good enough, contrary to what my art teacher used to say. And at any given time, leaving before going, things go south is always an option. Second, this week, I invite you to extend curious compassion to people and not judgment. When you face someone who's making you feel frustrated, my driving example is a perfect place to start that with. Give the person who is causing you to be frustrated the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they didn't see the merger sign. Try and give them compassion and understanding. And please use the KISS principle. Keep it super simple.